Welcome back to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. According to the EPA, more than 26 million households in the U.S. rely on septic systems to treat their wastewater. That's more than one in five. Septic systems are most prevalent in New England, but they're also pretty common in the Southeast and Northwest. And there's a reason for that. They're a relatively low-cost option for small communities. But in places like Cape Cod, it's become obvious that there are some major drawbacks, like excess nitrogen flowing from septic systems into nearby estuaries and bays, causing algae to bloom out of control and disrupting the natural balance of plants and fish. Since 1999, the Massachusetts Alternative Septic System Test Center has been trying out ways to improve septic systems. That test center is right here on Cape Cod, and it's one of just a few nationwide. Joining me now is George Hoyfelder, the test center manager. He'll be giving a talk tomorrow evening at the Brewster Ladies Library about the future of septic systems on Cape Cod. George, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Well, thank you.
Several Cape Cod towns are already moving forward with hooking up at least some neighborhoods to sewage treatment systems, an actual sewer system. Is there actually a future for septic systems on Cape Cod, or are we looking at everybody being hooked up to a sewer sometime in the future?
Well, I think it's a little unrealistic to think that everybody will be hooked up, nor should everybody have to hook up. There are sort of the focused areas that are very likely to be sewered. These would be high-density areas where it's easy to connect up to existing sewer or where building sewers make sense. But where there's very sort of large lots, very well-spaced, it's impractical to hook them up because the conveyance cost alone, communities just can't afford it.
So where might we end up? I mean, we're at something like 85% of homes on septics right now, right?
Right. I don't believe we'll ever be more than 50%. So that means that it really behooves us to understand how to optimize the performance of that tool, which in the past have been looked at as sort of a temporary means of wastewater disposal.
And when you say more than 50%, you don't think we'll ever be more than 50% on sewer?
Correct.
Okay, so we'll be approximately, your prognostication is we're going to be about 50-50 sewer 50-50 and septic.
50-50 would be, I think, a generous number. I really don't think we're going to sewer more than 50% at Cape Cod.
What about composting toilets or some of the other alternative toilet technologies that have gained some popularity in recent years? I mean, there have been some pilot programs to try to get people to adopt these. Are they going to play a significant role, do you think?
Well, that will really depend on how people view them. Right now, we're certainly not even close to a tipping point. People don't like the thought of them in their house. With all the incentives that we've given countywide and even in Falmouth here, we have very limited participation. And I think it's either people don't like them or just don't like the thought of having their waste sort of stored inside their house, or they perceive that this might affect their property values. Really haven't got the best handle on that, but they are definitely a viable option. We've found that they will reduce the nitrogen load 90%.
If we go back in history, the kind of first ideas about treating wastewater were, I think, in large part about containing disease. And then more recently, we've been talking about excess nitrogen, the nutrients that come from wastewater and can end up in environmental water bodies. Are there additional challenges? I guess, what's the goal, the overall goal of wastewater treatment?
Well, the overall goal is to stabilize the waste and whatever emanates from your treatment system to have it be innocuous, not to affect wildlife, not to affect people at sensitive receptor sites like wells or public drinking water supplies. So that's the goal. In the early days of septic systems, the goal was how do you dispose of this, get it out of the way, because, as you stated, it was primarily pathogens we're concerned about.
So are there new contaminants, new things that we're finding might be coming from wastewater that we hadn't thought about in the past?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the endocrine disrupting compounds that come from waste, simply from normal waste, not to mention the medications, some of the new compounds that we make that we now realize are endocrine disrupting, these impact the environment at very low concentrations down in the nanogram level. So to put that in perspective, a Canadian study was done, and they found that nine nanograms, which is equal to like nine drops in 10 miles worth of railway cars carrying water, that impacted the fish population and actually skewed it toward the feminized side and shut down the fisheries.
How well do septic systems handle these challenges, whether it's removing nitrogen or removing these pharmaceuticals and hormone-like chemicals compared to a sewage treatment plant?
That's a great question. We're finding that if we can use the natural soil systems there by redesigning what we used to do is just get rid of it. If we use the soil-based systems, we can achieve rather high levels of removal, higher than treatment plants. Some
really?
Compounds, such as fire retardants, they're going to persist anyhow, but even though we, when we treat them in soil-based systems, we see some dramatic reductions.
So before we talk about advanced technologies and where septic system technology is going, let's talk about where it is. How does a septic system, I mean, many of us have one of these in our backyard and we don't really know how it works. Can you give us kind of the 60-second how a septic system works?
Sure. They're basically a bioreactor. We take our waste out of our bodies and whatever we throw down into a septic system, and we hope that as it passes through the soil, the microbes will eat what they can, leave the rest, pass on the rest to the groundwater. So basically, it's a bioreactor in our backyard. A septic tank is an anaerobic or no air, breaks it down very efficiently, just very slowly, sends it to the leach field because we have to get away from the house and we have to leach it away. And that's what basically they were designed to do. A minimum bioreactor in the septic tank goes to the leach field and percolates the water away.
You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm talking with George Hoyfelder, the manager of the Massachusetts Alternative Septic System Test Center here on Cape Cod. So at the test center, is there one most promising technology or innovation that you're looking at this point?
Well, there is no one size fits all. So depending on the space you have, as I mentioned, soils-based systems properly designed can do quite a bit. And we're working with one now that actually uses a waste product, which is mulch or wood, integrated into the leach field to remove nitrogen. We've had some very promising results there.
And what do the wood chips do in the septic system?
The wood chips actually provide a carbon source for denitrification. A standard leach field takes all the nitrogen from our bodies and converts it to nitrate. That's what the culprit is in our marine environments. It goes out there, feeds the algae. The algae, of course, produce oxygen, but at night they deplete the oxygen, kill the fish, kill the shellfish. So what this new system does, this new approach, is after it's in nitrate, it produces an interruption before it hits the groundwater of a wood-based layer, shuts the air off, and the bugs, the bacteria, use the wood as a carbon source to denitrify the wastewater before it hits the groundwater.
If those wood chips are basically a food source for microbes, they're eating it.
Yes.
How long does this last? Are you know, is this 2 years, 5 years? How often do you have to dig up your septic system and put more wood chips in there?
Well, basically, if we can keep it saturated, we estimate about a 70 years worth of carbon in there. Modest.
Modest. Okay, so this is not something you're digging up every few years.
No, this would be something. That's what we're looking for, simple and sustainable. Our challenge is that right now, the easiest way to construct one would be to let that be unsaturated. And we don't know how long the wood will last. So we're in cooperation with scientists down at Stony Brook University in New York and University of Rhode Island to try to get their microbiologists to try to figure out, you know, how long do we have with just a simple layered system? Because that system could easily be installed. There's no real difference between that and a standard system except a layer of sand and sawdust mixed.
That sounds like a pretty low-cost improvement to a standard septic system. How much of an improvement do you get in function?
Well, there's two things that we're working on. One is the shallow distribution system, which is up top. Rather than putting everything down deep, we distribute the wastewater very close to the top, which, of course, lends to a very green lawn, one that you may not want since you'll have to be cutting it at least once a week. But that, we found, removes a lot of the pharmaceuticals and personal care products.
So they go into the grass then?
They're actually metabolized by the bugs within that shallow soil layer.
Wow,
and
okay.
Then as it passes through to the wood chips, we even understand that there may be things called white rot fungi, which break down the lignin and the cellulose.
I mean, you find those like in your compost pile, yard compost pile, right?
Yes, that's right. And those, because the compounds are complex, and of course cellulose and lignin are complex, these bugs can break down those pharmaceuticals even further.
Are there any caveats, any real drawbacks to trying to move in this direction?
We don't know. We've started doing this starting about 4 years ago. We have a number of experiments going. And the biggest drawback is the space required. It's the size, if not a little bit bigger, than a standard Title V leach field. So the other technologies that we've tested over the past 15 years, they're black boxes which manipulate that same nitrogen cycle inside a box that sits very just right outside your door. And then the leach field, the processing is done in the box, so the leach field doesn't have to do as much.
Are these kinds of systems something that towns could or do require when there's new construction going in?
Yes, there are a number of towns that do, particularly when there's variances, or in Falmouth, for instance, their pond overlay district, when they have a development with more than five lots, they require them. So there are presently over 2,000 systems on Cape Cod like this.
And what about retrofitting existing septic systems? Is that something you could do?
Yes, there are some systems that can be retrofitted. They're generally mechanical units, so they require a little power. And the drawback there is the power. Some of them use up to 5 or 6 kilowatt hours a day, which is, you know, fairly intensive. The system we've been working with would probably, just by comparison, maybe be 50 cents a day. Maybe.
Cape Cod has some pretty unique geology, and this problem is pretty intense with the nitrogen pollution in particular. Do you see this as a technology that's meant for Cape Cod, or is this something that, you know, we could be exporting to Vermont, to Florida, to, for that matter, overseas to other countries where they have wastewater treatment issues?
Well, the products that we've tested and the new one that I've told you about, the simple one, really we're in cooperation with Florida right now. Florida Department of Health down there sponsored a project, which we just copied to see whether we could use it in our geographical area. New York, we're, as I said, cooperating with the folks down in Suffolk County, New York, and Rhode Island. So it is something they're looking at all over the country. There's a conference in June where all the people working on these sort of low-impact type of things are at the Water Environment Federation Conference in Florida.
Can you give septic system owners a little bit of advice about how to keep their own septic systems in their backyards healthy and perhaps
absolutely
limit their impact on nearby water bodies?
Yes. Number one, grease kills your septic system. To buy yourself a 50-cent scraper and don't let any grease go down there. The other is lay low on the quaternary ammonia products to clean. You know, reasonable amounts are fine, but oftentimes we see a seasonal cottage. They'll go in every week and just totally scrub that thing down, and that can kill a septic system, and it doesn't do a whole lot for the treatment units that we test also. So those are major things. Toilet leaks, I can't tell you how many times people call and they're overflowing septic system and swear that there's nothing leaking in the house. But when we do a check, we find out, yeah, there's been a toilet leaking for, you know, months.
I mean, it sounds like we kind of need to change our whole attitude from thinking about wastewater as something that's just going away to really thinking about it as part of an ecosystem that is our septic system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people think about it as nuclear waste, and this is not nuclear waste coming out of our bodies generally, unless you're in treatment for something. But I think that as people start to understand the organic nature of it and how it interacts with their environment, they might even start to reconsider things like composting toilets because, as I said, there is the lowest impact system you can have right there, and yet they're the hardest to convince people that this is a worthwhile endeavor for them.
That's George Hoyfelder, manager of the Massachusetts Alternative Septic System Test Center. He'll be at the Brewster Ladies Library tomorrow evening talking about the future of septic systems on Cape Cod. George, thanks.
Thank you.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. You can always find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.